animal noises
yeah.
from time to time.
The giraffe effect. I love the giraffe effect. Makes it sound like you have a really long neck. It's just like echoey as shit.
If you had a giraffe,
like it's coming out of the,
you know what'd be cool?
Particle accelerator.
If humans had a giraffe neck, I bet there'd be body modificationists that would get like tracheotomy things up and down their neck.
Oh,
and then they could play their
yeah.
neck like a flute. It'd be like a recorder.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Dude, I saw a girl with like a corset piercings.
Yeah.
Like she pierced like in two rows up her side and had like a ribbon strung between all of them.
I've seen that in back. She actually had rings mounted in her back.
Yeah,
and they were laced
up. That's
what
it was. Yeah. That's crazy.
It is crazy. That girl
crazy.
Is...
I saw Lizard Man too.
I've seen the Lizard Man as well. I've seen a cat. Have you seen Catman?
Bifurcated tongue. No.
Catman.
Catman do?
Catman can do. He has got... He's tattooed his face like a lion. Mm-hmm. He's grown out his bushy orange mane. He must have been a ginger kid. He got his bushy orange
mane. Yeah,
because
if he tattooed his face, he certainly can't dye his hair red.
True. So he's got this bushy orange mane, and he's had... his lip is slit to his nose.
Oh.
He's had plastic surgery to make his nose look like a cat nose. Oh. And he's had these metal studs, like 10 metal studs implanted in his cheeks that he can put fiber optic white.
Oh, my God.
So it looks like he's got whiskers.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't look human anymore. He looks like a real-life furry.
Oh, my God.
Probably fucks like one.
Probably.
This is getting recorded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank God.
You're listening to Blue Yonder. With your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Streets, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Should they give us an intro?
Oh, we're doing intros again?
We have to. You got away with it last week because I was sick.
Yeah.
We were both sick. I'm still sick, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is recorded like 2 days after our last podcast.
True.
Because Aaron's got prior obligations.
No, it's four. Recorded
four
Wednesday.
Days?
Yeah. It's Wednesday. It's now Sunday.
I've been sick for like
this is the Sunday, pre-pack Sunday.
Pre-pack Sunday. It's not actually pre-pack Sunday. There's another Sunday before PAX.
No, there's not.
Oh, yeah. Because this is coming out Friday
next week.
Oh, that's
right. I keep on thinking that I'm leaving next week. That's the thing. I've got like 1 day to record before PAX, and this is it. So Peter and Jim are going to have to cast without me next week, but we wanted to get this PAX preview so the listeners will know what we're doing.
What we're doing, how to get a hold of us, all that kind of stuff. I am Jim Jones. Let's go to the intros.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard.
And you'll know who's smart by the end of this one.
Yes, you will.
We wanted to talk this week, obviously, about PAX East, because we're heading out there in 2 weeks. Aaron had some stuff he wanted to talk about with some flash mobs that may be going on at PAX East.
Up front, I want to say the best way to contact us or see what we're doing at PAX East is to follow our Twitter at... Twitter.com/baldmove.
Yep.
We're going to set it up to where it'll echo our tweets back, you know, the tweets that Jim and I make individually to that central channel. And
on our webpage, on our main baldmove.com page.
It'd be a Twitter account?
No. You wanted to set up an echo from, you wanted to set up a widget on our page to do that as well.
What
right?
I want is whenever I tweet something, the baldmove account will echo it. Not the webpage, the actual
account. Just sign into the baldmove account and tweet it.
I guess, but then we can't keep a separate stream.
Okay, well.
We'll have to talk about
okay,
this.
Okay, we'll figure it out,
but
on air.
Twitter.com/baldmove will be the best way to, as we move from place to place and do different things and see cool stuff, we'll be posting it there.
And to go along with that, we actually wanted to get some questions from our listeners to ask Mike and Jerry, because you're going to the,
I'm going
the
to,
Penny Arcade draw strip.
I'm doing
whatever.
Every Penny. I always do this at the PAXs. I go to every freaking Penny Arcade panel there is. So.
Can we talk about this up front real quick?
Okay.
Can we put your subject on hold to talk about the vastly different experience
No, I want to talk about the main subject first.
Okay.
So the main subject that I want to talk about that I'm most interested, it's not gaming, has nothing really to do with the con. Mm-hmm. It's this Dick Wolves controversy.
The Dick Wolves.
Wow. I want to see how the Dick Wolves are going to be treated at Penny Arcade Expo in Boston, because this is the first one since the brouhaha really, like, the shitstorm hit.
Since the dick hit the fan.
Because, like, so just to, so everybody knows what's going on, Penny Arcade made a panel called The Sixth Slave, and it was lampooning in MMOs and in other games how, you know, you're the hero and you're sent to liberate a slave camp, but you're never supposed to liberate the whole thing. You're supposed to, like, save five slaves, and there's hundreds of them there.
Yeah.
So it shows a hero, like, with five slaves, and he's, like, whistling Dixie and leaving the camp, and a slave comes up behind and says, "Oh, please, sir, take me with you, too." And he says, every morning we're awoke, every night we're raped asleep by dick wolves, every morning mm-hmm. we're roused by blows, my life is an unending hell, blah, blah, blah. And the hero just cuts him off and is like, whoa, buddy, I'm supposed to save five slaves. And the slave goes, but, and he goes, hey, buddy, don't make this weird. And he just leaves. So that's a pretty funny joke. It's like talking about how stupid and arbitrary the MMOs are. Mm-hmm. Well, there are groups of people, a lot of women that, you know, some are rape survivors, some are just feminists, that disprove of any joke or anything that makes light of or is seen as deriving humorous substance from the concepts and subject matter of rape.
And they would not have dick wolves as pets.
No. And so Shakesville is one of these sites, and she took issue with it. And Mike and Jerry were, like, blown away. It's like, what the fuck? So they actually made another comic that basically, like, look, we didn't mean for people to take this as pro-rape. And they were, like, being real sarcastic. And at the end of the strip, they're like, if because you read this comic and started raping someone, stop raping them now.
Yeah.
Leave. Apologize. Leave. Go forth and rape no more. Well, this just pissed off the rape community, the anti-rape community, the rape awareness community even further. Mm-hmm. And they suggested that, you know, there's all this brouhaha about you should use trigger warnings, like, before... You know, before you do a strip about rape, if you're going to have the bad...
Like a disclaimer, warning, this strip contains rape jokes.
This is the trigger warning for people with sexual assault, you know, sensitivities or whatever. And Gabe and Jerry rightly pointed out, hello, that's every Penny Arcade. We offend someone every week. We talk about pedophilia. We talk about bestiality. We talk about rape. We talk about, I mean... And this joke wasn't actually about rape, but they have made those jokes, okay?
Okay, I'm sure they have.
And the other thing is, this woman claimed to be... The other thing that set them off is she claimed to be a long-term Penny Arcade fan. And they're like, bullshit. No fucking way is this lady a long-term Penny Arcade fan. Because if she was, she wouldn't be doing this shit.
Yeah, she would have gotten out a lot sooner.
So I was totally on board with them. I thought, like, you know, there are these groups that have issues that are singular of importance to them. Mm-hmm. And they don't find, you know, if I imagine if you're a rape survivor, one of the... You know, there's some people that will still find humor in it. There's some people that are traumatized by it, mm-hmm. need a lot of work to be done. I don't think the answer is for the rest of the world to stop, you know, to alter their sense of humor and what they talk about. I think the solution is to work on yourself until you're no longer traumatized and in a continuous instant cycle of
victimhood. Oh, you are an insensitive rape apologist.
I would be called a rape apologist at this point, and I would be saying, oh, blame the victim and do all this stuff.
Shame on you.
But on the other hand, you know, you can make a joke about anything. There's dead baby jokes that are funny.
And see, here's the thing. My whole take on this is that none of their jokes have actually been about, oh my God, it's fun to rape. Like, rape is a good thing.
There's probably been at least one.
No. I'm talking about within this scenario. I don't know anything about the Penny Arcade history, but within this Dick Wolves scenario, the Dick Wolves joke was not about rape.
No.
It was about MMOs.
Yes.
The second joke was about rape.
And actually, rape was highlighted as a bad thing. They're being raped
exactly.
by Dick Wolves.
And no one was having fun with that.
Right. And it's so absurd that you know, raped to sleep by dick wolves. They could have said, I'd just get raped every night. That wouldn't be as funny as rape to sleep.
Sure.
Rape to sleep
is
funny.
An impossibility that's hilarious.
And then by dick wolves, like, there's some mythical creature that's...
Yeah, that's just out there for rape. Like,
or is being put... That's the other thing. People say, well, that's like... I think dick wolves are just wolves that have penises everywhere and they've been employed to rape, you know? They're probably especially good at it, but...
Yeah. But the second joke... was also not about rape. The second joke was about how over, like, how misunderstood the first joke
was.
Yes,
yes. But I think that's where they started to cross the line, and we'll get to this bit later. But then, okay, so flash forward to PAX Prime, mm-hmm. and somebody came up to the podium during the Make a Sketch panel, which I'm going to try to get Jim to go to this year, where Mike actually draws a Penny Arcade thing, start to finish, color and everything, right in mm-hmm. front of the audience. One of the things is people make requests, and he'll just draw something on the strip and then erase it. Or mm-hmm. he'll, like, make Tycho have an enormous penis, or, you know, he does all kinds of crazy things. Someone said, hey, Mike, what does a dick wolf look like? Mm-hmm. So he whipped up a new image and he drew a dick, or he drew a wolf that had basically stood on four penises, oh, giant penis legs. And everybody said, funny. So then a couple weeks later, as they do, they made a new shirt called the Penny Arcade Dick Wolves with an image of a wolf's head on it. And this, a lot of people mistook as this as them tweaking these rape survivors again. Mm-hmm. In reality, the way I read the timeline, this has been months. This now joke was about what happened at PAX.
Gotcha.
In their mind, it wasn't connected, and they weren't like, oh, I'm rubbing this in your face.
Yeah. The issue had died, and they were now doing something else.
So then this thing went submarine for like 3 months. And then one woman who was... usually participates at Penny Arcade panels. I guess she's done a few panels. Hmm. She wasn't a keynote speaker, which I really thought, but she said that she's not going to attend this year because of...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so that started a shit storm.
One out of 50,000 people not going to be there. That's a shame.
But then that's kind of what Mike said. His original is like, well, if you're going to be offended by the Dick Wolf shirts and all this stuff, well, then don't come.
It's not the place for you.
Then. Well, the problem is there's a lot of, I guess, this got a lot of news for some reason, and it got a lot of the rape survivor networks accusing Mike and Jerry being rape apologists and all this kind of stuff.
Man,
the problem here is it's like, let's say you made a joke about gassing Jews. Okay. Silverman does it.
Offensive.
It's offensive, but it can be, you could make one that's funny, arguably.
Sure.
Let's say that there is a band of Auschwitz survivors. They're all in their 90s. They all have the serial numbers tattooed to their arms. They survived these atrocities, and they took umbrage. Mm-hmm. The correct response to them is probably like, we're sorry, this is a raw issue. We stand by the joke, think it's funny, but, you know, here's some resources on the Holocaust, and here's if you want to donate to, you know, Holocaust awareness and all that kind of stuff. To be kind of sensitive. What Mike and Jerry did is they basically doubled down and like, oh yeah, 90-year-old survivors of Nazi brutality, fuck you.
That's not what they did.
They
though.
Did.
No,
Mike's a dick, and that's what he did.
I don't think he was thinking that in his head.
I don't think mm-hmm. he's thinking that. But Mike is a big free speech opponent, and when he hears somebody basically your speech was wrong and hurt people, his natural action is come. He's an artist.
His natural reaction is fuck.
His natural action is to come out, both middle fingers blaze, and I'm gonna make my art. And
this isn't North Korea.
You know, this is piss US. Christ, baby. You know, what's his reference? If you don't know,
I don't know.
God, I'm so fucking old. Some artist made a. exhibit in New York that was literally a mason jar full of his own piss with a ivory carving of Jesus on the cross submerged in it.
Nice.
And he called it the Piss Christ.
That sounds...
And that got a lot of people angry at him, but his response was, it's art, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what Mike did. But here's the thing is, you can't look good when you are picking a fight with rape survivors. And I think the appropriate response would have been, we stand by the original joke. We're sorry that people got offended, but that sometimes happens when you're doing art, when you're trying to comedy. Here is some information about rape awareness, and you know, maybe sell a couple of your pieces to raise some money for it, so you don't seem like an insensitive asshole.
I don't agree that they ever have made fun of rape victims or rape. I think
a lot of their followers have, and what's most recent thing...
Okay, well, their followers are not them. I don't care about
what they do.
But they
do have some responsibility for what they do,
sure,
like or not.
But if they're making jokes about MMOs and people go wrongfully accuse them of being rape apologists, and then they make another joke about how people misunderstood the first joke,
right.
I don't think that's making fun of any rape or rape apologists or rape victims
or
anybody.
Except for somehow the Dick Wolves t-shirts got...
okay.
Got...
So let's bring this around to PAX East.
All right. So these Dick Wolves t-shirts got to be this touchstone for a lot of Penny Arcade supporters. Like, we're going to wear a Dick Wolves t-shirts too.
Okay.
But but also Dick Wolves got tied back to the rape. Like,
and they took
somehow,
the Dick Wolves t-shirt off the store, right?
Well, that's what happened. Somehow that this got transformed. The Dick Wolves shirt was now Team Rape or Go Rape. Uh-huh. And there was actually a guy with a Twitter account. I think he's still active. It's now called Team Rape. And he's trying to organize.
Team Rape. Okay. That's
but
too
this
far.
Is what's happened. So he's like, he's trying to organize rallies with the Dick Wolves
t-shirts. Okay, but this is not Mike and Jerry doing
I know.
This shit.
So anyway, so this got bad. Like, people started sending him emails saying, well, your wife should be raped and
Jesus
all this stuff.
Christ.
And people were like doing the same thing to the rape survivors. They were saying, well, if you come to PAX, you're going to get raped, all this. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, that's
so
disgusting.
Mike's like, you know what? We're pulling the Dick Wolves t-shirt. This happened about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody still feels comfortable. And it started to die down, but then like 2 days later, someone asked him on Twitter, are you going to wear, or can we wear our Dick Wolves shirts? And he goes, sure, why not? I will. And it just exploded again. So it's like, that's where he starts crossing the line.
Yeah, maybe that's not the greatest idea.
So I'm genuinely curious, and it's kind of died down a little bit, but
But there could always be that resurgence.
Because you've got these, number one, you've got women that can rightfully take offense at people trying to be in your face with these Dick Wolves cards. And PAX has always tried to pride itself on being a place that female gamers can be friendly. They have a lot of enforcers there to make sure people don't be disrespectful. They don't have booth babes. They kind of encourage you to bring your girlfriend. Well, this is like, you know, there's some women that said, you know, I'm not sure I'll feel comfortable if they got a bunch of fucking 18 to 24-year-old white men in Dick Wolves t-shirts under the banner of Team Rape. But that seems like it's a little threatening.
Sure. Let's not go into like the double standard on like women versus men rape.
Yes,
but
you're right.
But it would be hilarious to see a bunch of women wearing the Dick Wolves shirts.
And there will, I guarantee there will be women because they've said as much. Because there's some women
that would
are
be interesting
just,
to me.
Just as much with the guys, they're like, this is bullshit, blah blah blah, kind of year. I'm in the middle. I think that the original joke was fine. The follow-up joke was fine. The t-shirts are probably fine until they kind of be used as a totem and they pull them.
The Twitter comment.
But I think where they just should have let it lie. This second round of fire, they just should have taken the high road immediately. And I think it's telling that Mike was all combative and still defiant until someone started threatening his wife. And then suddenly, we need to shut up and move on and view people. This is horrible. I mean, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get the fuck, you know, don't just put your foot in the fire. And I thought that was a kind of a pussy move by him, really.
Huh.
I mean, did he really feel threatened?
No, I mean, obviously, no one's going to come to his house
and obviously
his family.
But I bet his wife legitimately was concerned because she sees all his tweets and all that kind of stuff.
Possibly.
So, you know, I to me, this is an interesting angle to see if at all this is going to blow up because PAX is right. I mean, it's getting to be a bigger and bigger show every year.
Oh, it'll be huge this year.
It'll be huge this year. They got a much bigger facility. I'm just wondering what kind of pall or what kind of atmosphere this will, if any, change the atmosphere of PAX. Enforcers crack down on Dick Wolf t-shirts? If they have like a Dick Wolf protest? How are they going to handle this PR fiasco?
It's an interesting question because like what happens if 10% of the people show up with Dick Wolves shirts.
I'm telling, there was a not unsizable amount of gaming professionals pulling out of forums and panels and stuff and saying they're not going to go.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So there's like a professional backlash against the con.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, for a game company,
sure,
they don't
bad
want
PR,
this is
they
radio
want to stay miles
active.
Away. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's, I mean, I think some of them are like, with progressives and liberals, which a lot of these gaming people are, they get like caught up in these cause celebs and, you know, they want to, and there's like, you know, the phenomenon that I've made mention of, the internet white knight syndrome, where it's like, well, we need to protect women, you know.
What? Okay,
but
no,
there's like,
wrong, because if you want everyone to be equal,
but
you don't need to protect anyone more than anyone
the
else.
The white knight is the guy who, like, there's one token member, woman, female member of the forum, and if anyone talks shit about her, even if she deserves it, they all jump in and defend her. Like, you'll see 10 guys respond in like, to defend this woman's
just
honor.
Just because they want to get some.
Exactly. And I've even seen a guy, and, like, some guy beautifully called this guy out, like, you know, why are you wanting to do something that will make, you know, the number of women at PAX decreased. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck? Just because you, so you want a bunch more cock sheaths around? I mean, that's the only reason you're offended, because then there might be less women for you to possibly fuck. It's like,
wow.
There is a kind of a double standard there.
Absolutely. There are double standards, especially within this gaming community, because it's 90% men, as far as I know.
Right.
I mean, if you go to PAX and you look around, it is 80 to 90% dudes,
white dudes. White, that's the other thing. Dudes. Is like,
that's, it's, I don't get that, because there are tons of minorities who play games. What the fuck? Why aren't they at PAX?
Because I don't know. I mean, I think they do, but when you say tons, I don't think that's true. I mean, how many percent?
No, there are tons of them that play games.
What I'm saying is, you realize African Americans make up like what, 15-20% at most of the American.
Fuck, I don't know.
So it's like. That's like, so if there's only 10% of them there at a gaming, that's actually,
yeah, then that's
about
like 1%
right.
of the population. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but my thing is, I think that the other problem I have is just kind of like when you talked about gay, bisexual stuff, I kind of got caught up as like, as a male with, I've got the preferred sexual orientation, gender selection, and color of skin. And, you know, education level, income bracket, everything.
Well,
I find it very hard to, you know, comment on what people should and shouldn't be offended by. Just like, you know, like 10 years ago, I'd be like, I don't care if anyone is offended by my use of the word faggot. I'm using it this way and they can just get used to it. So it's like, does the person that is from the privileged status get to define what is offensive? Or do you let the rape victim say, this makes me feel uncomfortable? Now, there's a balance.
That's an interesting question, yeah.
Like, if someone makes, like, if like, maybe you don't, you say the word, you can't use the F word, the fag word, but you can you make...
Which you've just used twice now.
I know, but I'm doing it as...
But yeah,
I'm doing
it
in
a
way. So, is there a responsible way to poke fun of homosexuals? You know, I would argue there's a lot of ways you can make fun of homosexuals.
Yeah,
and
there are plenty of ways
without being dicks about it. And is there a way to make rape funny?
Well, that's the thing. Like,
Sarah
comedy...
Silverman tells hysterical. Like, she's got a joke that's like, "So I was raped by my doctor a few years ago," and she goes, "Which is such a bittersweet experience for a Jewish girl." That's hysterical, because like the stereotype of Jews are like after money and like marrying a doctor, and so. You know, but
that joke is more about Jews.
But it's offensive on many levels, but it's hilarious.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
See, I think as a society, everyone needs to define what's funny. You can't just let one group decide this is funny or this
Agreed.
Is not funny. I
Agreed.
Mean, we all have our sensibilities. We all Agreed. Need to contribute to this idea of what is funny and what is comedy. And some of the best comedy, I mean, comedy really... To me, a lot of the times is about pushing boundaries and saying this may be offensive, but we can look at it in a certain light to have it actually be comedy, be funny, and people not get offended over time. Like, of course, when it happens, people are going to get offended. Lenny Bruce offended so many fucking people,
which I researched
by just saying fucking.
Yeah,
that
George Carlin.
But George Carlin. They all
Richard
brought
Pryor.
This into the public light.
Yep.
And that's the only way to progress society. Comedy is actually a progression device.
It heals.
For society.
It gets people talking and heals.
Absolutely.
I mean, what little progress we've made on race is probably because of Richard Pryor and Chris Rock and stuff like that. Just talking about it. It's like, look, we've got to talk about it.
Yeah. I won't say it's all because of that.
No,
I mean, there's like black movement.
Yeah, it might have Martin
stuff.
Luther King.
Yeah.
And
you know, there are
Malcolm
a couple
X
other small figures.
Yeah.
Not comedy.
Yeah.
But it's a big component.
It's part of the healing, a part of keeping a conversation. I'll just say that before you all like rah-rah, Penny Arcade, Dick Wolf, Team Rape, do some research on the rape culture in America and, you know, people with post-traumatic stress. And at least don't just knee-jerk dismiss it. If you're going to dismiss it, educate yourself so you know why and what buttons you're actually pushing on people. And then make the call whether it's worth it or not. I'll say at this point, anyone that shows up with the Team Dick with a Dick Wolf shirt, I'm going to assume is an asshole. At this point in stream, that they are actually now that people have said this is making me uncomfortable.
What if it's a woman?
And still, you're an asshole, because the second someone registered Team Rape and
team
started
rape
organizing
wrong,
these flash mobs, that tainted it. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just like saying a swastika. Well, that's a Hindu symbol of peace and prosperity. Too bad Nazis fucking tainted it. Don't show up with the fucking swastika unless you're at a Buddhist temple where you're not going to get your ass kicked.
Or a neo-Nazi convention.
Yeah. So if you show up at...
then I think it's appropriate gear, right?
Yeah, why not? Or if you're a prince of England.
It's like a tux at a wedding or something.
Yeah. So, at this point, my assumption is if I see you in the Dick Wolf shirt, I'm going to assume you're an asshole. I might be wrong, but my assumption is you're an asshole and you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
All right. Well, that's 20 minutes on Dick Wolves.
I think we can move on.
I think we can move on. I think we can actually get into the meat of our topic tonight, which is PAX East.
Agreed.
First thing I want to talk about, because we're going to talk a lot about what actually goes on at PAX, but first I want to talk about what goes on outside of PAX in Boston. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that is done before the convention, like especially the night before on Thursday.
Yeah, there's mini concerts. There's
mini concerts. Some
unorganized
gaming. There's the Poke Crawl, which we fringely participated in last year. Uh-huh. We went to the bar that the Poke Crawl was at.
Right.
Didn't wear yellow or green or whatever. I might have been wearing a red shirt accidentally, but.
And I might do that again. I don't know that I need to participate in it.
I don't need to. I don't have a pokey counter or whatever the fuck those are.
I will follow them and drink. And it's kind of a spectacle. It's a good way to meet PAXers.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I'll definitely be there out at the bars drinking on Thursday night. Like, that's kind of the time to drink, I think.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to the bars, you tend to do it the night before the con starts.
Because if you go to the concerts at all, you're not, especially in Boston where things shut down at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's the thing. The concerts go till 1, 2 o'clock.
Exactly. So. And later. I mean, geez, Louise, Jonathan Colton.
They just give him run of the show.
Right.
Like, whatever, as long as he wants to play. He could play till Sunday night.
Right. Like he said, he's like, I guess they're going to shut this place down at 2 o'clock, but I think there's more of us than there are security guys. So
yeah.
We'll keep playing. Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of pub action on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to get into like the gaming at the hotels. I've not done that yet. My plan for PAX this time, outside of PAX, is to like scope out the area, find out what's going on, and like game and drink and socialize. Like, that is my plan. I'm not going so much for the panels or the real PAX event this time. I'm going for the socializing and the gaming.
Right.
Like, I want to meet people and have fun.
Gotcha.
Because the last two times we've been, I've been all about like panels and gaming, like console gaming in the gaming rooms. But I want to do like pen and paper, tabletop kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff you can't do at home.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't have 50,000 people at home to hang out with.
Also, let's talk about some personal things we're doing. Or podcast things we're doing. The Bald Move crew has been hard at work. We've got some t-shirts we're going to be wearing to PAX. We'll have a Bald Move t-shirt. We're going to be debuting one of our custom t-shirts called, the theme is Damn It Feels Good to Be a Rancor.
Yeah.
Which is a riff off the Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster song from... As made famous on MySpace or Office Space.
And you shouldn't have to say that. Like, you were telling me that somebody you told didn't get it.
Some people didn't get it.
How the hell do you not get Damn It Feels Good to Be a Rancor?
Damn It Feels Good to Be a Rancor. And it does. And this Rancor, he is feeling it, man.
He's
on this
healed
t-shirt.
Back with his arms up.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it feels good to be a Rancor.
Hell yeah, this is me. Accept it.
Absolutely. So we're going to be putting up a store with those. We're going to be wearing those to PAX.
Yeah.
We may even give some of those away at PAX, who knows.
Maybe. But what we're really excited about is we've been coming up with a custom card, our own card game.
Yes, absolutely.
A casual card game, and we've drawn on our own experiences, you know, as we've made allusions to, we three grew up as Jehovah's Witnesses.
We're unleashing it here. I don't know that we've ever actually officially said we were Jehovah's Witnesses,
right.
But we were.
We grew up Jehovah's Witnesses and we all left the organization for almost three different reasons. Like,
I was never into it at all.
No, Jim never believed and he kind of like towed the line to, you know, get along with his family and friends.
And friends, yeah, yeah.
I was a true believer, but I actually left... In late in life, due to doctrinal differences,
research.
I actually researched and he's like, "Hey, this is a bunch of crap," and left. And Peter got thrown out because
he fucked somebody
and couldn't keep it in his pants till marriage.
Yep.
and he got thrown out. So what that means, when we say we left, okay, when you're a witness, your friends are all witnesses. Your family is largely witnesses.
Yeah. Everyone when, you know is a witness
everything
by
you know
design.
Is a witness. And this is by yeah. design. It's and what when you get kicked out, all that's taken away because no active witness is allowed to talk to you. In fact, if yeah. if they do talk to you, they can be disfellowshipped too.
Yeah. Well, let's not go into like all the doctrinal issues here.
No. But like I'm just saying that's just, so we were all talking about how bizarre. There's some bizarre things about being witness.
There are a lot
like,
of bizarre things. Yeah.
Like you can't grow a beard.
You can't watch rated R movies.
You can't watch Disney movies because they have magic in them.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't go to college because if you go to college, you might be in a dorm room and smoke pot
or be exposed to ideas that they don't like. Yeah.
Exactly. You're not really – you're very discouraged to do outside research.
Yeah,
like reading
exactly.
other Bible literature from other places is
basically, let's
verboten.
Just blanket this and say it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, there's some fucked up things about being a witness and we're trying – how can we communicate that? Because when you're talking mm-hmm. to friends and family that are not witnesses, it's hard to get in – to the headspace of what it's like to be a witness. So we were drunk one Saturday afternoon waiting for Peter to show up, and we had a big whiteboard, and we started whiteboarding like a card game.
I
envision as a CCG, but we pared it down to a very casual game.
It's turned more into like a combination of Uno and like apples to apples. It's very strange.
It's like Rook and Rummy with some contract bridge.
It's like chess and volleyball with some.
It's like,
know,
you know, when Vulcans have Pond Fire. And it's like that.
It's like the Vulcan sex ritual.
Pretty soon, Captain Kirk dies, and then he's beamed back up, and he turns out he's not dead, and there's an awkward hug.
God needs a spaceship, and something goes on.
No, but it's a fun way, but it is also kind of educates about what that experience is like, because a lot of people know about, you know, I don't like to use the word cult, but mm-hmm. witnesses are definitely a high control group.
Yeah, I would classify it as cult. I mean, I'm going to make
I don't like that because I don't like that just because it's pejorative, but
sure, but I think it applies.
Okay. And now you've destroyed my derailed my train of thought. Why?
All right. Well, fuck you.
All right. So we got this game. We've actually been playing it. We've demoed it with some of our friends. We think it's mm-hmm. fun. It's fast paced. Mm-hmm. The goal is to either become a high ranking Jehovah's Witness.
Uh-huh.
Or to leave the cult
without being disfellowshipped, so you don't lose your friends and family.
But as you're playing the game, there's like all things like people can catch you doing sins, and then it triggers a disfellowshipping round, and it's actually really fun. And
there's a lot of player interaction where you're not just. It started out where we were just basically you played against the dice. You were rolling dice to determine the outcome of most things. But now we actually have a system where you are interacting with other players to try and determine things.
Yes, you're trying to win and trying to catch them doing bad things. And, you know.
It's much more interesting.
So we think it's fun. And we've got an alpha version that we've actually professionally printed.
Yep.
We're going to bring 10 decks with us. And our goal is to get these 10 decks into.
And we're telling this to you even though you don't get them.
Well, I'll go this way. If you're a Blue Yonder listener and you come to PAX and meet us, if we have decks left over Sunday, I'll give you one. If we're out and you give me your email address and your mail address and all this other crap, I will order you another alpha deck and I will send it out to you.
Wow.
So if I've got some left over, which I hope I don't, I'll give it to you that day. If not, I will actually have you custom printed an alpha. And these decks, like... I don't know that this is going to take off big. We're going to hit Gen Con at the Indie Hall, and we're going to try to promote this. I'd be thrilled if we sold a couple hundred decks.
Yeah.
But if you know, if it does turn out to be a really fun, a big game, like a Steve Jackson-style game, these are all marked with a special alpha symbol. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know...
Collector's items. Oh, yeah! Gamers love
shitty alpha arts, and shitty alpha rules, and a shitty alpha symbol on the backside of the deck.
And we're actually doing a viral marketing campaign right now. If you go to baldmove.com/cult... Uh-huh. You will get to...
There's a cult.baldmove.com.
It's not working yet. I don't want to give out that address in case it doesn't work. But baldmove.com/cult. There is a form that you can just put in your email address, create a password, and then you can start referring your friends. And if you refer two or three friends, I think it's three, we will give you a free copy of the digital game once we launch.
That you can play on the Octagon.
Octagon. OCTGN. OCTGN.
Yep.
Look it up.
That's a well-known game that you can play, like, Magic the Gathering and do all that.
Oh, there's tons of custom card games that people have made, yeah. It's really cool.
So, and we've also got a couple other things. We're going to do a couple other games based on an idea for a Call of Cthulhu.
We're building an empire.
Yeah.
Is really what we're doing. The Bald Move Empire.
We're going to keep throwing shit out there under the Bald Move banner until we get rich and or famous.
Until something sticks to you.
Yes. So our goal is like every quarter, every 90 days, we're going to have something out there new. And if people like it, great. If not, fuck them. We'll keep doing something else.
Yeah. They'll like the next thing.
So... we think it's great. If you'd like, if you're a listener and you want a deck, let me know. I will send it out to you.
And if it's Sunday and you're at PAX, tweet us to find out if we have any decks left.
Yep, because we'll be looking to move them. I'm hoping to get them in the hands of, like, Jerry and Mike and just be like, hey, it's a new game. Like, play. Anyone that's that has some audience.
Yeah, it's a shame Will Wheaton won't be there.
Yeah.
Because I got his autograph last time on my badge my program. I actually got Paul and Storm's autograph. They might be interesting to get a deck, too.
Sure.
But tons of people have booths there, and we're going to check them out.
Yeah, so, the thing is, like, I have great respect for individual witnesses. I think there's some that are very nice people. They're very devout. My beef is not with them. My beef is with the hierarchy and organization. And people think of witnesses as being nice, clean-cut people, and they are. But I'd like for them to know kind of like the other side. And that's what this game's all about. And it's fun to play the boot. So we've got that going on. The other thing we want to offer to you as the listeners is I'm going to attend every Penny Arcade panel.
T-shirts as well.
T-shirts?
Yeah. Yeah, we want them to go check out our store, baldmove.spreadshirt.com.
All right.
Right? Because we got the damn it feels good to be a white core shirts up there. I don't know if we even mentioned that.
Yeah, if you want to get one right now, you can. They're like $15, right?
$15, yeah. I mean, it's pretty standard price for
T-shirts. Nice quality T-shirts. Yep. So we're going to be trying to get the game. We're going to be playing we got some spare moments. We're going to be in the paper-based gaming section, just playing the game, trying to get people to play it with us.
Yeah.
You can play with 4 to 6 players.
Yeah, and this goes, like, perfectly
This game includes, like, everything you need to play in the deck. It's got, like, 78 cards. You've got...
we're going to have to do a whole cast on, like, the development of this game and, like, what we changed and what we started with, because there are a lot of interesting progressions, like moving from dice to cards, moving from... dice interaction to player interaction, things like that. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
Maybe we should just leave it at that then. But we are trying to get people to play it at the game. So if you want to hook up and have a demo, we'll have one of the decks there and we'll be playing in lines.
Here's the other thing. If you have a blog about gaming or like a podcast about gaming and you want to do like a review of this game, we'd be more than happy to send you an alpha deck.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you have some sort of subscriber base. If your subscriber base is as low as ours, no way. No way do you get a deck.
You must have at least 25 Facebook fans.
But any blogs or podcasts bigger than 25 fans, send us a shout out. We'll send you a deck.
So there's that. The other offer I wanted to make, I've cut myself off like 3 times.
It's
now.
A sexual offer, listeners, so be prepared.
We're staying at the Roundhouse Hotel.
Roundhouse Hotel?
In room 69. I'm going to attend, as I always do, every Penny Arcade fucking panel. I'm going to attend the Penny Arcade question panel number one, number two, and the Make a Strip.
Draw a strip.
During the whole time, they're taking questions from the audience. I never have good questions to ask.
No, you don't.
If a viewer has a question they want me to ask, I will stand in line and I will ask that question and I will get the answer and I will report it back to you.
Tweet it to us.
If you want Mike or Jerry to answer a question for you, you let me know. You tweet us and the best one or two, hell, whatever. Yep. I'll get as many as I possibly can answer.
You just rapid fire 14 questions.
No, I'm going to 3 different ones I can get in line. I probably won't do...
Oh, there you go.
Won't do more than one question.
Sunday it comes up. I'm the asshole. Remember me. Here's a question for my Twitter followers.
Right. So you got that. You can make me be an asshole. I'll be banned from PAX.
And if we only get one question and it's like, how do you feel about the Dick Wolves? That might be interesting. Ask them about that.
I bet it gets asked.
I bet it does, yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what their response is because they might... I've seen them just dismiss an answer. Like, if there's some people have asked about, like, legal things, like when they were, trying to get secure the rights to publish their book because they fucking sold that to somebody by mistake, they actually said, like, we can't talk about it. So it'd be interesting to see if they just like take that tack of just like, you know what, we said everything. Yeah, you know, I can see them saying we said everything we wanted to say on the homepage. Read that again if you, you know, but we're not going to talk about it anymore. If I were them, that's what I would fucking do.
Okay. Well, let's move into our next. Here, actually, beer me while I move us into our next section.
Yeah, all right.
I think we've talked about everything we need to talk about there as far as announcements.
This 750
Hey, we are not personal arrogance here.
Get out of here. This didn't go as far as I thought it would. See, you got fucked over.
What happened here?
You want some?
No, that's you're right. Sick, you bastard. No,
you got it.
Okay. Anyway, so let's talk about before we get into the panels at PAX. Let's talk about our downtime plans. Like in between panels, while we're at the convention, what are we going
to
be doing?
I personally want to hang out the Classic Arcade, and my goal is to beat fucking Dragon's Lair.
You may be there a long time. That's
it's doable.
Game.
It's like a 10
it
minute.
It is, but you need to be practicing.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes long. You can do it.
You need to be practicing, like, right now, though.
Fuck no. I'm going to do it at the
I actually saw one of the guys from Digital Press actually beat the game while I was there last year. Like, that was the Classic Arcade was the highlight of my
anytime when someone
year.
Makes it to, like, Smog's Lair or whatever the guy, I forget what the dragon's name in that is, there's, like, excitement in the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like oh, you know,
everybody crowds around the machine, starts smoking cigarettes and playing Journey.
Of course.
See, that's the only thing they didn't have last time, I think, was
they need a smoke machine.
They need a fog machine, yeah. Yes. They need a fog machine or a lot of people smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
so
a fire
code
violation.
They need a fog machine.
Yeah. But they had, like, everything. That was the highlight of my PAX last year was the Classic Arcade machine.
Totally.
All those. I spent probably, I want to say, like, 4 or 5 hours there during the con.
Yeah. And I just discovered it because you talked about how cool it was. So I got to spend, like, a half hour or so there.
You didn't even see it until?
No, until you told me, like, Sunday. I visited Sunday and I hung out there quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I definitely want to hit that up and play a lot more of the games this time.
The other place to go that we went last year is the console room. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of console games you can check out. Anything from Atari all the way up to the 360 and PS3. All that stuff.
I wouldn't mind going to the pen and paper area and seeing if I can get into a game of Pandemic. And you said,
Arkham Horror. The PA guys have talked this up.
I want to get into that too.
I've heard tons of people saying how great this game is.
I've gone to Gen Con for like 3 years in a running, and I've always tried to get into a game, and something always screws it up. It's like cursed.
Well, last year at Gen Con, you were just totally playing Axis and Allies.
Yeah, me and Ace Jace kept winning. We got to the championship round of Axis, which blew me away. I thought we'd duck out in like round two or three.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, my whole con time was fucking manipulated by that.
Yeah, that sucks. But it kind of sucks and it's kind of awesome. But yeah,
I had fun.
I definitely want to try and get a game of that in. They say it's like 4 hours long. A decent sized game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to set aside a chunk of time to go do that.
So
the other things. Yeah, I got to go eat, right?
We're going to go drink. We'll text you if you want to join us. We'll
absolutely.
Put it on
Twitter. Yeah, Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/baldmove.
And then the other thing I wanted to do is I'd like to play some like maybe Left 4 Dead or Team Fortress 2 in the free play PC area.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Here's my plan. Like let's go from the very beginning of PAX. When I arrive there Friday morning, I'm getting in the queue line, waiting to get into the building. And then I am totally skipping the keynote address by Jane McGonigal. Yeah, I'm totally skipping that. I think
she's
Will
a professor at Hogwarts University with Harry Potter.
Probably.
Yeah,
sounds
she's
like
going to teach like shapeshift. Are you sure you want to?
I don't think
that?
You're allowed to say her name. Are you? No, but yes, I definitely want to miss that in favor of getting in line early
for the Primo swag.
Yes, the Primo swag and Primo games. Like you know, Portal 2 is going to be there. I definitely want to see Portal 2.
Is it?
It's got to be. It's got to be playable there. Yes. I've seen videos of it, man. It's got to be playable there. It has to be.
Has Valve ever had a... Oh, yeah, the Left 4 Dead 2.
The Left 4 Dead 2. It was huge. And that's the thing. That's what I'm thinking.
And they gave the best t-shirts away, too.
They gave the best t-shirts away. Red Dead Redemption was there last year, which I really wanted to see, but the line was freaking huge.
Yep.
And that's all because I went to the keynote. So this year, I'm skipping the keynote. I'm going directly to Exhibition Hall, and I'm going to get in line for the most popular game.
I am going to go to the keynote with Jane McGonigal because she seems like an awesome lady, and she's going to be talking about, like, her claim to fame is she did the alternative reality game before there was a genre called alternative reality game. called I Love Bees that launched Halo 2. And she's also been a big proponent of geeks and video gamers kind of like being the 21st century heroes, that like we're problem solvers, you know, we're going to affect reality in positive ways. So I kind of dig that message, and, you know, I like to have them smoke blown up my ass. And if a semi-attractive woman is going to blow smoke up my ass for an hour, yeah, I'll listen to that.
Sounds perverted.
Besides, the thing that comes right after that is the Penny Arcade.
Yeah, which I also don't
care. It's like, I might as well have my ass in the seat ready for that.
Exactly, and I don't care about that. I'd have to escape that panel.
Right.
So, let's talk about this. Okay, I want to talk about earlier.
Yes.
Our vastly different experiences at PAX.
I see Jim more often in an average week than I do during PAX weekend.
Yeah.
Because we're like black and fucking white.
Yeah.
He is at Penny Arcade Expo, and he has yet to be to a Penny Arcade function.
I actually ran fleeing from the one that I almost got caught up in
Like he was fleeing a structure fire.
Yeah. It was like, push the women and children to the ground. Yes. I'm getting the
trample
fuck out of
babies.
Here.
He has no idea
what
Gaber Tycho looked like. I've got a classic picture of him standing by Jerry Holkins going like, what the fuck is this guy?
That's the other thing. Check out our website right now, because at probably baldmove.com/PAX, I'm going to put up all the PAX pictures that we have from both PAX Prime,
the classic PAX,
and PAX East from last year.
Yep. So I'm going to see that, and then the Penny Arcade Q&A that starts at 11:30. Then that takes us to how to fund your game development with, a Kickstart at the Cat Theater.
So you're going into panels that you want to see, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to go into the worst panels before we do that.
Oh, really?
The panels that we think don't even belong to PAX.
This is controversial. I'm afraid to piss people off.
It is, but we got to do it, right? That's what we're all about. I mean, let's just, we've already talked about dick wolves.
Yeah,
we are
controversial.
Yeah. If we're not pissing people off, we're not casting. So,
Griffball Evolved.
Well, it's based on something that happened at PAX, right?
Let's keep rolling. If we can't agree that they sucked, then let's just like keep going.
I don't agree that sucks. The winning the PAX East game. This is the worst. This is our podcast that we're doing right now. A day too late.
Yeah.
It's on Friday, the beginning of PAX. What the fuck do you want to know what's going on at PAX? If you haven't studied what's going on at PAX by the time you're at PAX, you've lost PAX already.
They have a couple of tips that are probably, like, I already know, like, it's not important to stand in line for the goddamn concerts. They've never...
You waltz in.
They've never not had standing room access to the concerts.
And they've got a huge theater this time.
Yes.
It's enormous.
And it's easy to push to the front. Like, if you want to get by the stage, all you need is 5 minutes of grunting and sweating.
Oh, dude, last time I was like, yo, Aaron, hold my bag. I'm going to the front.
Which, by the way,
Onomatoguchi.
By the way, fuck you. I'm not doing that this year.
And Onomatoguchi's not there now. So.
I plan on pushing to the front for Protomin.
Okay, I'll hold your bag this time. All
right.
It's all fair.
Yeah, you will. And you'll work the shaft and swallow the gravy.
But Onomatoguchi's not there.
Yeah, okay.
So you've lost that opportunity. It's a shame. It really is a shame.
All right,
but that's the worst panel.
That's,
I think,
bad. That's
right?
Pretty bad.
The other one. I don't want companies doing market research on my precious PAX time.
Right.
The Harmonix Reverse Q&A. I think this
is... They stand on stage and ask random people questions about their own game?
Yes, they're doing market research on stage for an hour. You're not going to get me into a room to be marketed to for an hour.
Hell yes.
Or to help you make money for an hour. I'm here to enjoy the games, the socializing. I'm not gonna help you.
How about press B to laugh? Gaming jokes and how to make players roll on the floor laughing.
Have a fucking sense of humor.
Yeah, it's basically how can you have a sense of humor? How can you make gamers laugh? Make a funny game, asshole.
Make a funny game.
It's super simple.
And here's the thing: they were talking about like why aren't there very many funny games? There are a shitload of funny games. I mean, if you think back to like all the LucasArts adventure games, fucking hilarious. Sam and Max. We've got stuff like Duke Nukem, stuff like even Portal is funny.
Even Full Throttle, like one of the hardest times I've ever laughed in the game was during Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Okay.
There are some hysterical sequences if you get off the script. That's just funny as hell.
Wow.
In particular, there's this one point where, there's someone, you're setting up a scam to scam this woman out of some information, and you're female, you know, because Indy's always got a girl. Mm-hmm. She's pretending to be a madam at a seance, and Indiana Jones is supposed to dress up as a ghost, and you're supposed to like wear a sheet
Scooby-Doo
and a
style.
Flashlight and this scary mask at the same time, and go in when their lights off and go make ooh noises. But if you just don't do it in the right, if you don't like turn off the lights, put on the sheet, put on the flashlight, and do the mask. If you just do like put on a sheet over your head and walk into the room fully lit and go ooh, the stuff that they say is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and okay, here's a prime.
Because it's like Indiana Jones is in a room and she's sure. wearing a sheet and going woo.
Like you can see the outline of his hat under the sheet.
Yeah, it's funny as hell, man.
Here's the other thing. We're at Penny Arcade Expo, right? The Penny Arcade games are the perfect example of funny as fuck games.
Yeah. So, like, I don't understand.
There are tons of them.
This panel just seems stupid to me.
Yeah.
Worst panel ever.
Crazy, which is what we're talking about. The other one, how about 10 games you need to play, the digital game canon? This is a panel where a bunch of quote-unquote game experts get together and decide what are the best 10 games on the planet.
Careful here,
ever
Jim, because we probably will do that before this podcast dies.
I don't give a shit. Here, that's exactly my point.
We're not going to
this
convene.
This subject is suited for podcasts and blogs and gaming sites. You do not need 150 people in a room
watching
to
do
this. This is bullshit. This is a waste of my PAX time.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, all of these worst panels are based on, is this going to waste my PAX time? Like, I have only so many hours. I have 72 hours, roughly, of PAX time. What do I want to do with them? And it's hard sell if you're going to come to me with stuff like winning the PAX East game when I'm at PAX, or the top 10 games when I can go to your site and look at that.
Right. And there's a lot of stupid things like how game companies use Facebook.
That's more suitable to like a GDC sort of event, game developers convention.
Right.
Where people who are making games. This is people... PAX is people who are interested in playing games, interested in the culture of games.
Uh-huh.
Using Facebook in their game is not something that PAX people are caring about at all, in my opinion.
Right.
The other one that I want to talk about is all the podcast panels.
Okay.
Like, we have Joystick, and we have Major Nelson, and we have Giant Bomb, and I'm going to say right up front that I am a huge fan of, like, the Giant Bomb podcast. I listen every week.
And
I think those guys are hilarious.
We went to one of those panels.
I've gone the last two times, but I've actually changed my mind on those panels. The only ones that I'm going to go to now are the ones that I can't see. Like, last year, I coerced you into going to the GFW reunion, right? The mm-hmm. Games for Windows reunion with, like, Jeff Green and all those guys. Like,
which I wasn't impressed by.
Sure, but for me, that's a podcast that I used to listen to that broke up, and I can no longer hear that podcast. I cannot hear those guys talking over the internet. So that is worthwhile to me. If I can go there and they're doing a reunion cast. But the stuff like Giant Bomb, where they're doing one every week, the stuff like Joystick, where they do one every week, I could care less. I can hear that from my home when I have a billion hours to spend on my own.
That's a valid viewpoint. Although I hope one day we'll have a Bald Move or Blue Yonder panel.
Fuck that. I'm too good for that. I'm not doing it.
We'll have three people show up.
Yeah, right. All right.
So is that all the like shitty game in the panels? I thought there was one on Sunday, but I couldn't.
There probably is. Like, most of the ones that I don't think are valid at all are the ones that could be done just as well as blog post or podcast.
Right.
That's the problem I have with a lot of these panels is I could take a 3-page blog post and do just as good of a job as wasting an hour and a half at PAX.
All right, so let's talk about the stuff that we are going to do.
Okay, good.
I already mentioned the first two. We both want to do the How to Fund Your Game Development Project with Kickstarter.
Of course, because of the society, the game we're...
And,
we made.
Like, we've got other plans, too.
We do.
In the Cat Theater at 1230.
Cat Theater.
One thing I want to mention is all 3 days, there's a PAX East Chiptune Showcase where they're going to just be doing chiptune shows in a jam space, and they're between like 12:30 and 3 o'clock every day.
Yeah,
that's a good place to find us during downtime. Man, this beer is hitting me. I'm like sweat. I got the beer sweats. I'm hiccuping. I'm farting. I'm like, So,
that's disgusting.
If I'm bored, I don't have anything else to do, I'm going to hang out at the Jam Space and listen to some cool music.
Yeah, the Jam Space is pretty cool. I went last year, and I just caught the tail end of a show. Last year, they had both people on stage who were kind of a band and knew what they were doing, and they also had instruments set up for people to just go up and play.
Right.
Like, jamming is one of those elusive, like, arts that not a lot of people understand and not a lot of people can do.
Like sex.
Yeah, that applies to me. Not a lot. I can't do it, and I can't and I don't understand it. I don't get
it. It's kind of awkward and bumpy.
But jamming is just like this cool... Okay, jamming, you have like 50 minutes of bullshit within an hour, and you've got 10 minutes of the coolest thing you've ever
heard. When it comes together, it's freaking amazing.
And to do that in like this video game setting with all these people who are interested in the same subject, it's very cool.
Yeah. The one thing I want to mention is an Omegathon, because the first segment is around this time. The thing about Omegathon, unless you can see the final round, it kind of, or you've got a buddy in it. Like, I watched PAX.
Kynes was in it last year.
It's kind of like not cool.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to see the first two rounds and miss the third, right? That's bullshit.
Or the last, which I want to see in Omegathon, but every single time my flight arrangement won't
We're dumbasses.
Work.
We're dumbasses.
It's not dumbasses. It's just like Boston has got like two flights in and out of it to Indianapolis a day.
Yeah, Boston's a small city. It's ridiculous. I mean, nobody goes. Nobody lives in Boston.
They need to
have
PAX out of Vegas, where every 15 minutes there's a flight.
There you go. Yeah.
So, but we have to leave. Like, our flight leaves a half hour after Omegathon starts.
It could just be that there's no flights from Boston to Indy.
Maybe.
It could be that Indy doesn't have the flights.
Or maybe. Boston's not a huge town.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there, though. Way more than Indy.
So Benjamin Franklin was born there. Who gives a shit? They have beans.
They make beans.
They have a market that I like their chicken. I want to play Legal Issue. Or I want to play. So I'm skipping to Omegathon this year unless one of us makes it. I did. I think they've already got the Omega Knots locked down this year, though, and I'm not on the list.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Was I on the list?
They would have contacted you by now.
Oh.
Last year they did it weird. They actually pulled it right on stage, which is fucking cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought they'd do that again. But we couldn't do it anyway because our flight.
Right. I would miss my flight if I was an Omega Knot.
Really?
If I got the last round, shit, yes, I would reschedule that shit.
All right.
I'd sleep at the airport and leave on the first flight in the morning. excuse me. Legal Issues and Gaming in the Naga Theater at 1:30. I'm kind of interested in that. If it sucks, I'm gonna blow. That's the other thing about panels.
If it sucks, you're gonna blow.
That's right. I'm gonna go from suck to blow, just like the Mega Maid in Spaceballs.
Nice.
But I'm interested because there's some things you have to worry about, like copyrights and
with us making the game, it's kind of
it's important. Yeah. So I could do that. The other thing, though, there's two Rage demos, one on Friday at 1:30, one at Saturday.
I'll hit one of those.
That's the new id game. I've played every id game that's come out since Commander Keen.
I'm not so sure that this is actually the game. Like, the title of the panel is a live demonstration of Rage. I think this is just John Carmack breaking shit on stage.
He's just going to get pissed off.
He's just
going to
be throwing furniture.
Like, he's going to set off a rocket.
I'm not sure this is a game at all.
No, it's a demo. And it's the first live look that I'll be able to see of the technology. You say what you will, every single engine that id's rolled out has been a breakthrough. Like, even Doom, if you didn't like the Doom 3 game, the like dynamic lighting and all that stuff was state of the art. The textures are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got that. I'll probably hit the Saturday one since I want to see the Legal Issues in Gaming.
The one that I wanted to see is starting your own game company. I mean, that's going to be
in the IDGA Development Center at 2 p.m.
Yep.
And then the nice thing I like about Friday is I don't have a thing that I'm interested in the rest of the day until 9 o'clock when the Friday night concerts hit. So I'm probably going to do that'll be my big expo hall day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To try to demo as many games as I can. I'm going to try to interview some of the indie developers for you listeners.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing some casting from PAX if we can.
Let us know if you have some particular demos you want impressions on, because we'll try to prioritize those.
Yeah, tweet those to us. That's actually one of the best ways to get our attention is to tweet us.
So, yeah.
Another thing that I thought about going to, there's the American Classic Arcade Museum, which is not the same as the Classic Arcade Room.
Right.
It's basically a panel with a bunch of people who are around when, like, Atari was extremely popular. when video games were really in their infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be talking about the old days of video games and that whole industry.
But then Friday night concerts, definitely. We'll probably get dinner and then head over to the concerts.
Mm-hmm. Here's the concert thing with me. I only want to see Protoman and VGO. Because I have seen Jonathan Colton and Paul and Storm and MC Frontalot,
Metroid Metal.
I've seen those guys three times now.
I'm with you. I'm going to see the Protoman because they play first up on Friday. And the reason, like, why the fuck is Protoman headlining? Why aren't they closing the show? Here's the reason. Mm-hmm. Their stage setup takes like an hour.
I bet. Yeah.
So they all get that set up and then they play the show and they tear it down and the rest of the game bands move on. So that's why, if you're wondering why are they headlining when they should be closing, that's why. So we're gonna have our faces melted off and we'll probably go out drinking and play some games.
Exactly. And I just want to right now say, Penny Arcade guys, what the fuck are you doing with these concerts? These concerts have been running with the same people for how long now? At least 3 years.
Oh, three PAXs. Okay. Going back to because the 09
this will
PAX
be the
prime.
Third year, right?
Yeah, and the only thing they've done is subtracted Anime Noguchi.
That's it.
Pop.
That's the only change they've made. They've added VGO.
Yeah, which is a good ad.
Which is a good ad, but you need to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I love MC Frontalot a lot. I love Joko, but these guys can't be doing the same thing over and over when you have mostly the same audience there.
Right.
You need to switch it up. There are tons of good bands out there.
Get
Dr. Awkward or get, like, what's his name who does Clone Fucker?
Shaver the Dark Lord?
Shaver the Dark Lord. Get some guys who are a little less well-known but are still really fucking good.
I mean, obviously, Protoman put on a fantastic concert.
Absolutely. But they've only been there once, so keep them.
But I think this is the last... They should... In my mind, this is the last concert they should play for at least a year.
As far as PAX?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, because they're actually touring the hell out of places. I'm going to go see
them. Yeah, they don't want to stop touring.
I'm going to go see them in Cincinnati in March, too.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the, but I think you get two PAXs and then you have to take at least one PAX off and get something else in there. I just don't know. I can't believe these people wouldn't want to play PAX.
Like,
I
think MC Chris.
I've heard MC Chris doesn't want to play.
Well, he does not identify himself as nerd.
He's weird.
But
you're telling me Schaefer the Dark Lord won't show up or Kirby Crackle?
No, these dudes, like Beefy, Shale O'Reilly, these guys will show up and these guys will rock the fucking house.
Yeah.
You just need to book somebody different. Like, I understand you've got some kind of loyalty to these people.
I think that's what it is. They've gotten to be friends with them.
But you have more loyalty to your fans, I think. Like,
agreed.
To switch it up. Your fans want something different.
We'll see. We'll see what they do in Prime, because I'm hoping to.
I'm really hoping.
It's been long enough for these same six acts.
Absolutely.
So on Friday night, you got Protoman, Metroid Metal, and Frontalot. And I love Frontalot. I don't really care about Metroid Metal. I got their album.
I don't like Metroid Metal at all.
I'm ready to bail as soon as Protoman's over.
Me too.
So we wake up Saturday. First thing off the bat is Penny Arcade Make a Strip, which Jim will be
coming with me,
holding my hand. This is the best Penny Arcade panel in my mind, because you got the rest. You're doing the Penny Arcade panel experience, asking questions, and Mike is drawing a strip.
We still haven't actually talked about how vastly different our
Yeah, we have.
Experiences
we said
are.
That we actually.
You said you just don't see me.
No, but, like he doesn't.
I don't attend any Penny Arcade panels because I don't read their strip.
Because he's a shit.
I don't read their comic strip. I don't. The only thing I do Penny Arcade related is go to PAX because it's video game related.
Well, I mean, I can understand that because you like are much bigger into podcasts than I am.
I do. I listen to a ton of podcasts.
I listen to four podcasts a week usually. I listen to ours, Personal Arrogance, Bill Simmons, Jason Whitlock. That's about it. When Mad Men's on, I listen to Mad Men podcast.
Orange Lounge Radio.
I don't care.
I listen to...
Take your geek cred, turn it sideways, and shove it up your candy ass.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. We'll just say that.
The other thing I'm interested in is at 12 p.m. in the Wervin Theater is the Penny Arcade, the PAX musical guest panel. That's all of the musical guests.
Yeah.
All six of the guests in one big row answering questions and talking about the experience of being indie kind of geek musicians.
It's a PAX music train.
So I'm interested in hearing
get on board. I actually want to go to publish your own RPG and don't go broke doing it. Because
what time is that and where is it at?
Fuck if I know.
You didn't write it down?
No.
Oh,
no,
yes.
I just wrote down the titles. But that's totally relevant to us because, like, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to this time is relevant to publishing a game, to building communities, to more understanding, like, marketing and stuff. Because we're really looking to build, like, this podcast and this game and, like,
Empire.
All these, yeah, these projects that we're doing, we want to build them into Bald Move Empire. So a lot of my stuff is focused on that this time, a lot of my panels.
I'm interested in doing the geek parenting.
Lame.
Because I'm a parent. It's 1 p.m. at the Merman Theater.
Merman Theater.
It is. It is, man. I don't know why I've got this like tickle in the back of my throat.
Yeah, stop that shit.
I'm trying. I can't. It feels too good to let it get tickled.
Anyway, here's what I want to go to. I want to go to the Video Game Antique Roadshow. And here's why. Because you know people are going to be bringing like $10,000 games.
You're gonna try to rob them.
Exactly.
Stick them up.
Yeah, like if you're bringing in a Nintendo World Championship cart, a gold Nintendo World Championship, I'm gonna take that from you. I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna meet you in the parking lot.
Snatch and grab.
There's no parking lot.
You're gonna go O.J. Simpson on them.
I am. So watch out. Watch your back. If you're bringing an expensive game, better be prepared. Be packing.
There's another Rage demo at 1:30 on Saturday.
You going to both?
No, just whichever one I get to.
Yeah.
Then I'm interested in the community, some assembly required in a NAGA theater at 2 p.m.
What's that about?
How to promote and build an audience in the community.
Okay.
Because God knows we're not doing a good job.
Fuck no.
53 episodes in and, you know, we want to have...
And we're the only ones listening.
Yeah. And Staffa, be fair.
Yeah, yes.
So, and Darth, yeah, so we've got a nucleus of, but we want to know, like, and I'm not very good at promotion and marketing. I want to know how to use these social networks and stuff to actually
feel,
get.
So, I feel like an asshole when I'm marketing.
Like a whore.
Like a whore.
Yeah.
I don't want to shove it in people's faces.
No. Uh-uh.
Saturday night, there is something that I want to see. I actually am kind of intrigued by all of these each night. You've got movie screenings.
Oh, yeah?
King of Chinatown looks interesting to me. It's about a guy who is a professional gamer, and he's like, it's a documentary about how he makes a living playing professional games.
Yeah.
I thought that would look pretty interesting.
I gotta say, this 12.5% alcohol beer has got me...
You are
swimming,
a puss.
Man.
God, you realize we have to meet up with the PA guys.
Yeah, they're
and
gonna
they
drink
have been
us
drinking
under the fucking table.
They have been drinking 12 packs every week.
Yeah,
you're in trouble, man.
Well, all I know is when they come out to Indianapolis for Gen Con, I'm gonna smoke them under the table.
I got it over on that.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
tobacco products. I'm interested in the 5:30 careers in paper gaming. At the Merman Theater. This is actually one of the ones we might go to together.
We might actually end up seeing each other at this panel.
Because I don't want to work for a publisher, but they're actually going to talk about how to start your own studio and get your ideas published and go at your own. So.
And working for a studio or a company wouldn't be the worst thing ever. I mean,
no, it'd be better.
Way better than working for an insurance company.
It's not going to pay what I'm getting paid, though.
Yeah, sure.
Where's My Spaceship? A Guide to Video Game Cosplaying. I'm interested at 7:30. If I'm not doing anything else in the cat theater, because as I said, I've kind of gotten a growing interest in doing cosplay and they're going to do some techniques and like, you know, some things you can do in your own garage. And while they're doing it, the way I understand it, they're going to transform a female model into a character from Mass Effect 2.
And
so that
Aaron,
sounds kind of cool.
And Aaron is a furry in his spare time.
I'm on record as loving the ladies.
No.
So, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, you're transforming women. That's, you know, in Optimus Prime. That's cool.
How about the D&D virtual table demo?
What time's that?
I think it's Sunday.
Oh,
I don't know
well,
what
then why are we talking about it? Because the Saturday concert started at 8:30.
Well, dude, I just wrote down, like, which ones I wanted to go to.
Saturday concert started at 8:30.
Not how many paces from the front door they are.
Saturday night, they got... God. Saturday night, they got VGO, which is the Video Game Orchestra, native
Video
to
Game
Boston.
Orgasm.
Very cool last year. They brought the house down.
And I missed most of it. I got there late.
Dude, it was hot. Like, their bombing run for... Chrono Trigger.
I bet that brought
and,
house,
and
yeah.
their Castlevania suite was
yes,
freaking
I heard
awesome.
That. That was very cool.
Put a smile on my face. It was awesome. But they're headlining, and then they do Paul and Storm and Joko. I actually might come back for Joko. I might go out for drinks and dinner and then come back because he always plays late.
And he plays different stuff. He mixes it up a lot.
He's got like 70, 80 songs.
Yeah, he did that thing a week. Which
52. There's 52 songs
right there. The Geek Knights guys, who we might be playing Rampart against. I think we are.
Yeah.
We're doing a little Rampart tournament while we're there.
I'm calling them a bitch for ducking us.
Yeah. And if they do, I'm going to be a bitch because they're going to beat me. Apparently, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of panels. I think they're doing three different panels. One that I definitely want to see is game mechanics and mechanism design.
I do too. 10:30 at the Werven Theater.
Is that Sunday? Okay. Yep. There's another, like, how to win at games or whatever
that
sounded interesting.
No, it doesn't. Don't suck up to these fuckers.
Okay. I wasn't sucking up. I was stating my honest opinion on what I wanted to see.
I don't believe it.
It's all right. Sure. Well, game mechanics and mechanism design, I can go to that, right?
You'll allow
that?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
All right.
Now, what's that? That's about actually...
That's
about going to be about what it's going to be, how you control people's minds and such.
Yeah.
No, that's about how game design can get the players to do what you want.
Exactly.
And you kind of know intuitively bad game design and good game design, but like there's actually theory and mathematics behind it.
Sure, sure.
And we're getting into game design and stuff, so it's like, hey.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting. I don't know that they actually have any game design experience is the thing.
It'll be interesting to see.
But
I thought they were going to moderate a panel of developers, but it turns out it's just going to be
them. It's just them, yeah. But I have heard them speak to the subject on their podcast, and I thought it was pretty decent. Their conversation was interesting.
Yeah, they're smart guys.
So I'm interested to see that.
Penny Arcade Q&A 2.
Lame.
In the main theater at 2:30. Again, if you got some questions, give them to me.
I'm going to be sleeping during that.
And then the thing that me and Jim are super excited for is the Game Design Jam.
Hell yes.
And IG88 Development Center.
This is basically a two-hour session where you get a partner and you design a game.
And we've got an idea for a game that we've been wanting to do, and we've actually been wanting to design it. So hell, we'd do this anyway.
Might as well do it.
Let's bring your mini whiteboard.
All right, yeah, and we'll get basically we'll get time with real developers, real game developers who can show us what we're doing
wrong. Tell us how bad we're sucking.
Tell us how much we suck,
and
make fun of us, and then throw us out.
Yeah,
and I'm totally excited about that. The other thing that I wanted to see, I think this is on Sunday. Start your own damn company. It's basically these guys who say, we will not make your game. We have made our games in the past. Mm. We have ideas. You have ideas. We're not going to make your idea. We're making our ideas.
Right.
So go make your own damn company. And well, of course, we're interested in that. Like I said, most of this stuff is about game development and marketing and communities and stuff like that. But that's about it.
We're going to flee the fucking scene to fly back. And this is the other thought. Yeah. We're actually flying together. Like
we are. Last time we didn't. And I met Joko in the airport, which you missed out on.
We didn't from PAX Prime either because you were...
Yeah, we did.
But you were living in Chicago. We didn't fly together. Are we sitting together?
We ended up not sitting together at one point and sitting together... Like, on the way there, we sat together. On the way back, we didn't. But, like, the flights to Indy, like, from Seattle to Indy,
right,
all go through Chicago.
I bumped you in favor of sitting by an attractive woman.
You sat a row behind me, yeah.
Yeah, right, right. I switched you up because you were actually dating someone, and I wasn't. So I'm like,
dude.
I preempted. It's like, hey, that girl's kind of hot. Why don't you switch me seats? So.
All right. I
had a nice conversation with her, but didn't go anywhere.
Nope.
Wah, wah.
That's the thing, man. PAX, all about scoring with the ladies.
Yeah, it is.
That's not true at all.
No.
Although, in a college town like Boston, maybe. It's not with the ladies at the con.
The problem, and Kynes is better at this, is that every woman that I can tell at PAX is attached.
You just have to not care.
And like he said, like if the ring's not on the finger, then, you know, she's
fair game.
Should have
put a ring on it.
Exactly. But I have a problem doing that. And the other thing is the girls that are unattached at PAX tend to travel in packs.
PAX.
Not PAX, but PACKs, just like in bars, and they're hard to separate from the herd to go in for the kill. So
Yeah, you don't need any of that.
Maybe this is the PAX. I don't know.
This is not the PAX.
I'm pulling for you, Jim.
What? No, I'm not gonna be doing any of that. I'm gaming. I can do that here.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be gaming. You're playing the game. Hell yeah,
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, I'm playing the game, all right.
You're spitting game left and right. We got anything else to talk about PAX? Because I got a Stoffice Corner.
Yeah, hit us with the Stoffus corner.
All right, because he asked me, he's like, hey, are you going to have time with this PAX? And we actually don't because we're running over.
Yeah.
But because I promised to you, Staffa, we're going to fit it in. Dear Blue Yonder, under the subject, reviewers trying to do more. The internet now has an unwritten rule. Wait a second. Does he want me to do this in crazy accent? A Jamaican accent? Get the fuck out.
Man.
You want to try it?
Fuck no. I'm too sick, man. I can't
do it. Oh, come on. I'm going to have to do another damn accent.
No. No. Sorry. Staffa, we don't do requests.
No, yeah, it is. Okay. Why
Let's
I'm doing
do this in Staffa's voice.
You got to do this. I got to get a steel drum. When you're editing this, can you put some steel drum behind it?
I will. All
yeah. right. All right. All right.
That's a Jamaican accent right there, right? Steel drum.
Dear Blue, oh god,
it's
gonna
be like an
shit.
Episode of
this
Full House.
This is going to be my. I'm going to be accused of racism. I'm going to be
rapism.
I'm going to be accused of step and fetch it and Jar Jar Banks and all this crap. But I'm going to go for it because I love you, Staffa.
Oh god,
dear Blue Yonderman, the internet now has the unwritten rule about doing reviews. Now, not only do you have to be a reviewer, but you have to be a comedian and an actor as well, man.
And accentist, surprisingly better than your English accent.
It is. I'm better at being a black Jamaican man than a white English man.
Yes, you are.
It's like everyone be watching some angry nerd on YouTube.
But not much. But not much better.
Fuck you, Jim. I'm trying to do this. All right. It's like everyone watched some angry nerd on... Shit. It's like
Now you're morphing into, like, Arnold mixed with Jar Jar Binks.
I decided they need to make the reviews into bad MTV skits, man. For example, I watched this guy who does reviews on comics, y'all, and I'm not going to name drop. I find it interesting and entertaining to watch. I've lost it.
Yeah.
Just to watch.
And no one understands what you're saying either.
To watch him go over the comic and discuss his thoughts on it. All right, I'm going to try to rally. Yo, I think it's fine that he's trying to play some jokes here and there, but does he really have to bring his friends and family and act as if he's... Oh, I can't do it. Battling intergalactic space invaders at the beginning and end of his videos, Mon.
I just add Mon to the end of each sentence.
I came to the video to watch a review on comics, Mon, not a bad LARPing session. This trend has become very common amongst the internet. I'm going to limbo. And all that it's showcasing is that there's a reason why these guys are stuck doing acting on the internet, not on big screen, Staffa.
It almost sounds like you're doing a cross between Jamaican and the pure ownage guy.
Can you read this in a Jamaican accent?
No, he cannot.
No, I cannot.
No, he can't.
Please select another accent for me to fail with,
yes.
Staffa. I'd enjoy
German.
That.
German next time.
I can't agree more. This falls under the heading of trying too hard.
What is he talking about? I couldn't get past your accent. I'm sorry.
He's saying that... A video game on you can't just review a fucking video game now in text. You got to do a video review.
Oh, you have to be the angry video game nerd.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one. So it's like kind of like there were a few radio disc jockeys like the Wolfman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see this like and Bob and Tom owns Indianapolis and they're syndicated a lot of places.
Yeah.
Every fucking AM guy has to try to sound like that. But the thing is there's a reason the Wolfman and Bob and Tom and Howard Stern work is because that's their personality and they pull it off. You try to ape that personality, you're going to fail. You got to do you, man. You got to do you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Bringing in friends and family actors, sometimes that works. Like the reason I like Bill Simmons' BS report so much is because he'll, like, just call up his random buddy from college and ask him what he thinks of the Yankees trade. And it's funny because, number one, you get the true fan's perspective. These guys aren't part of the team, and they aren't following it, and they don't have a real educated. They're just talking as a passionate fan. So I can see some of that. But, you know, for video games, the other thing is I've stopped reading a lot of reviews. I get the Game Informer because I have that hokey GameStop Power On card that saves me like 10% on used video games and stuff. And I did the math. It actually saves me some money. I'm Peter Streeting at y'all. I don't watch a lot of reviews because I could give two shits about what people think about a game. I don't read a lot of movie reviews. I read Roger Ebert's because I respect his opinion. But like, it's as I get older, I care less and less about what other people think about the experience and more of what I think about the experience.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, reviews and reading reviews and watching reviews are all about finding someone whose tastes line up with yours.
Yep.
And then they become a trusted source. Basically, they are previewing the movie through your eyes.
Yep.
If you can find someone who matches closely enough.
And you get to know their personality well enough that even if you disagree, you'll know it.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, well...
And you'll know why.
You know, Ebert likes this movie because he likes girls with big breasts.
Uh-huh.
And he's obvious about that. Or Ebert hates this movie because it's based on a video game. Or it's in 3D and he's an old man and he doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to discount what he says about that.
Sure.
So, like, once you know and you feel like you know a person, then, you know... Like, I think... Listeners know if I say that a movie's hot, they probably, if you've listened to me from the beginning, you know enough that you can either discount my opinion or take it as gospel because you know where I'm coming from.
And that's the thing about people like Angry Video Game Nerd and whatever. They're not game reviews. They're entertainment.
Yes.
If you want game reviews, you go to a trusted game review source. You don't go to the Angry Video Game Nerd and the Irate Gamer and stuff like that. Because those people are not ever going to show you their real personality and their real opinion on the game. They're playing a character who's only there to tear down a game.
I gotta say, though, I don't like video reviews because I read so much faster.
Yeah.
But the other reason I don't like is because I'm shocked at how amateur some of these people are. Mm-hmm. The same thing with a lot of podcasts. Like, and maybe... Whoa.
Oh, no. Like, they're coughing into the mics
and
shit.
I'm throwing stones from a very glass house, y'all.
Yeah.
But the thing that drives me nuts about a lot of podcasts is just how amateur they are.
Sure.
I mean, they have very shallow takes on things, and they just don't seem like they're... Yeah, what drives me crazy is, like, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to a Mad Men podcast, and they're talking about a mature adult show. But they're acting like they're broadcasting out of junior high. Because anytime someone says poopy or pee-pee or penis, everybody's like, oh, my God, how shocking is that? You're so wild and crazy, man.
Yeah.
But we're like, you know, fuck that. So, like, if you're listening to our cast, this is how we talk.
Like, this is. This Jim is us having a conversation.
Exactly. We talk over each other. We call bullshit. We make fun. We crack wise.
And that comes right back around to the value of gaming reviews. Like, if you don't put out your full real personality, if you're playing a character, people are not going to identify with your opinions on things because they're not feeling like they're getting the true vision of you.
It's distracting.
Yeah, and they don't know if they can trust what you're saying because you're playing a character.
And that's my biggest problem with the red letter media guy.
Yeah.
Is that
stop that shit.
I wish I could. To the extent that he sticks to the facts... I'm entertained to the extent that he starts going on these weird rape, murder, crazy fantasies. And I don't really care for the tone of voice that he uses either.
No, that annoys me to hell and back.
So it can be distracting. Like, Peter loves it, but I hate that stuff.
I despise it.
My voice, man. Like, I got to get some cough syrup or something.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap this shit up. We are obviously going to be at PAX East. If you are going, subscribe to our Twitter, twitter.com/baldmove.
Have a drink with us.
Have a drink. Yes. We will buy anyone a round.
Oh, what? Oh, shit.
Any one of our fans, we will buy a round. Am I wrong?
What if it gets forwarded and we're end up buying 100 rounds?
I can afford it. I'll do it.
This offer may not apply in Boston, Massachusetts.
Check with your local authorities.
Exactly.
Yes, or go to our Facebook
page. If you're on
our
forum as you're listening to this, we will buy, and you show up at PAX, we'll buy you a fucking drink.
Yeah. Check out our Facebook page, twitter.com/facebook.baldmove/doesn't exist. Search for us on Facebook. Also go to our forums, like you mentioned, forums.baldmove.com.
Seeing more and more traffic. We're getting daily, like, we're actually starting to build up a community of people to check it every day. Amazing. It's working.
Yeah, I don't even check it every day.
I do. What's funny is, like, Staffa has as many posts as I do.
Mm-hmm.
We're like number one and number two. And then, like, you're a distant second. And Peter is like Darth Paxis has more posts than Peter. Peter, get off your ass.
Yeah, come
on. Start posting on these forums.
And email us at blueyonder@baldmove.com. We also signed up for a Twitter account for The Society, which is our game that we made. It's The Society Game.
And we're going to do a podcast based on that, right?
We're going to do a whole podcast based on that, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Leave us some iTunes reviews.
We could use that.
We could use that. I know. I don't think we have any right now because we switched up feeds. Yeah. We had a few.
And I'm going to link to the right. iTunes fucks us over because they will not take down our old site.
I sent them messages months ago to take that down.
And we continue to pester them. We'll eventually get it right. But if you go to the link that I'm going to put in this cast, it will take you right to the place you need to go and to the right cast to leave reviews.
Make sure you don't listen to any of those amateur podcasts.
No, kind of.
Who can't get their iTunes link straight.
No, don't do that. And they cough, constantly cough into the microphone.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Aaron's voice is gone. My brain is gone. We're signing out. Until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.
Cough.